Good morning. When I entered the premises, I saw Rob singing here, praising God. He's still yet practicing. I could not but go and give a hug. When we see the live examples of grace of God, my spirit at least was lifted up. Yesterday, we had a Bible study here in the same place. Around 60 people gathered. And we have a brother, his name is Ruben. And he was 48 years old, and he was diagnosed with cancer. He went through the same exact treatment what Rob was going through. And yesterday he celebrated 50 years of God's grace, his birthday. He stood exactly the same place where Rob was standing. And he was praising God for what he has done. When I saw Rob, I felt like my spirit was lifted up and my faith on God has dramatically increased. This morning, that has nothing to do with my sermon, but I couldn't stop but wanted to share the testimony. But the word that we are going to meditate this morning is about the truth of the gospel. We are going through this taste and see that Lord is good. But when we taste, we need to taste the true gospel to see it is good. Sometimes we see the gospel was distorted or tweaked to suit a culture or adjusted to suit certain men. But Paul was very careful in making sure even if it were to be going to persecution, he is keeping the truth of the gospel safe. And he wanted to reiterate the same in chapter 2. Today's portion is not up to verse 12, but the whole chapter, verse 21. Just to give a bit of background, Paul established a church in Galatia, and the church was formed on the principles of the message God gave to Paul, the revelation of the gospel. And church was going flourishing. Assume this is the church of Galatia. Lot of Gentiles who do not know anything about Jewish culture are becoming Christians. And then a group of Jews, here we see Paul calls them circumcision party, a people who are more into Jewish traditions and cultures, join the church and started to add more to what the message has come from Paul. Like we heard, Jonah was speaking, grace plus. You need to do this and this and this. Only then you will be saved. Unfortunately, the newly believing these Gentile Christians started to believe this new message from this group of Jews who came from the head office, Jerusalem. So we have two messages here. A message from Paul and a message from these Jews who have directly come from Jerusalem. And so Paul, when he heard this, that these Christians were adapting to this new distorted gospel, Paul was upset, frustrated, and more than all, he was burdened and concerned. So he started writing the letter to Galatians. Before he goes and reiterates what he said is the true and the truth of the gospel, he starts establishing certain things. He is indirectly answering the questions of these Jews who are also being part of this church. And what authority did Paul really bring this new message that was not part of these Jewish traditions? So Paul is addressing the authority. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, we see that Paul says, Paul, an apostle not sent from men, nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Now, apostle, being an apostle is, I think, the highest title you can get in that early church. Paul is not after esteem or honor to say that I am an apostle. In fact, Paul is more into being a servant. He actually says this in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. Although I am less than the least of all Lord's people, this grace was given to me. He always introduced himself to be a servant of Christ or a slave of Christ. Here he is introducing himself to be an apostle. The reason being, the time where there is no New Testament, which is being still compiled, there's a necessity for a message to come from apostle who has the authority of God and Jesus Christ. And so Paul wants to make sure the message I am, the authority I am given is from the authority of Jesus Christ who sent me. Apostle, the word apostle means the sent one. I am sent from Christ. And indirectly asking a question to these Jews who came, on what authority you have brought this new message. So he establishes the authority, and then he talks about the authenticity of the gospel. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, last week we heard Steve talking about this. Paul, he talks about Galatians 1:11, the gospel I preach is not of human origin. I did not receive it from a man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Like Steve was saying, he did not sit under a tree and then made up a story, crafted it nicely so people will be convinced. No. The message he got, it is a revelation from God. Now, there's a great difference between understanding and a revelation. Bible says that God has hidden the mysteries that are hidden from the intelligent, the wise people, but they can be revealed to the infants, the people who are humble and who are having humility. That is what it says in Corinthians chapter 2nd chapter. God has promised to reveal us the things that are hidden to wise and intelligent for those who love him. It also said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, at that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Now, Paul is bringing an important point here. You have two messages, a message from Paul and a message from this group of Jews. But you, when you hear a message, you need to have a revelation from God directly so you can see what is right and what is wrong. And that revelation is so important even to us at this time of this age that we need to have a revelation. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, that I keep asking God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. We need to have a revelation. It is like Jesus Christ was giving sermons in parables, and the wise people also could not understand it. But then he went to his disciple and he revealed the truth and the mystery behind the parable. So when we have the Spirit of God, God will reveal the truths from the Bible. So he says he established the authority. On what authority he is giving this message? He is establishing the authenticity of this message. And then he goes to the confirmation. I don't know how you always imagine the narrow path of Christian life. I always imagined it as a small path between two large buildings that you can't go this way or that way, and you're just walking in. But one of the God's servant brought this imagination of, imagine this narrow path is between two cliffs. It doesn't really stop you to fall. It is your responsibility to have the balance and walk in the narrow path. Now, we have two versions here. Now, we need revelation, but we also need the confirmation. In chapter 2, in verse 1, what Sister Rajita was reading is that Paul got a new revelation, and in that revelation, God asked him to go back to where? to the body of Christ, to the church, and then submit his message to the men of God who is in the Jerusalem, the pillars, so-called James, John, and Peter. So there is a revelation, but it is not that we go on wandering with our own private revelations and go away from the body of Christ. But there is also confirmation from the body of Christ. The same message that God gave to Paul, it is understood he would reveal the same message to Peter or the John or James. So he's saying that there is also confirmation of the message I'm giving to you guys. This group of Jews who say and claim that they have come from Jerusalem, from James, John, and Peter, I am telling you, I have brought this message to them, and they have confirmed my message. They confirmed in different ways. What does he say here? In verse 5. If you see, read this, I went in response to the revelation and meeting the privately with those esteemed leaders. The second line, yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to circumcise. They added nothing to my message. I'm just reading the underlined parts to save this time. They recognized that I have been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the uncircumcised. And they also gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. What Peter is saying is that it is not that I just created my own, this message. I actually took this message to Jerusalem, to the head office, and they did not add anything. Like you guys are adding now something more to the grace that pillars of the church, John, Peter, and James, they did not add anything. On contrary, they actually recognize the grace God has given to me and Barnabas, and they understood that God is using us amidst the Gentiles or the uncircumcised. He also says there's a practical example that I have Titus with me, who is Greek, who is a Gentile. I told them he is my co-worker, and they did not compel him to be circumcised, which clearly indicates the message that's been brought by Paul was agreed and confirmed by the Jews in the Jerusalem. And then before Paul goes on talking about the truth of this gospel, before he reconfirms what he said before about what it means to be saved through the faith on Jesus Christ, he took time to explain that he had to wage a war to preserve the truth of the gospel. And it also becomes our responsibility to stand and not give in, to preserve and keep the gospel pure. Jesus Christ, God has kept the gospel pure and preserved for 2,000 years. And he used the people like Paul, who went through so many hardships just to keep and make sure the message that was given to him was not distorted and going to the people without any tweaking and changing. He seemed to indicate, I'm really sorry, this is small, but this is big enough, I think. The two aspects that he indicated here as the powers that can influence the gospel is one, the culture. Now, the Jewish culture and the traditions they followed for years and years, they wanted that to be included and respected and be part of the salvation story. Now, don't get Paul wrong here. Paul is very, adaptable or accommodative to cultures. He is very accommodative to traditions. He becomes non-vegetarian for people who eat non-veg. He becomes vegetarian for people who eat veg. He becomes Jew for Jews, and he becomes Gentile for Gentiles. But the message is not changed or modified for Jews to suit their traditions. but the message is not modified to change it to suit well with Gentiles. He will not give in when it comes to changing or tweaking the truth of the gospel, but he is happy to give in his rights. He is happy to give and sacrifice his habits for the sake that he could give the message to the people. And this very well applies to us too. For last few weeks, I was in India. We were visiting so many churches, some of them who is led by my father, and I was given opportunity to speak, and there is totally a different way of preaching the gospel there. There, I felt freedom to speak about the truths. When I start speaking in this culture of Western culture, there's a conscious carefulness on the words you use because you might offend someone. There's a careful choosing of statements. To be very honest, to stand before you being a non-Western or non-Western culture person, I had to recite myself so many times to be careful of what words I use that I wouldn't offend anyone. We always respect cultures, but message cannot be altered. There are so many times the churches slowly change and move the gospel message to be an entertainment, or it to be a prosperity, or it to be just believe. Don't forget about repentance, forget about your sin, and you will be saved. These are all altered, and all these gospels were all the substandards of the true gospel, what Paul is saying here. And so we also need to have this application that we cannot change and submit ourselves or give in for the sake of culture and alter the gospel. And the second one, which is very dramatic, Paul is recollecting this encounter with Peter in church Antioch. Imagine this is the church of Antioch, and they are celebrating potluck lunch or potluck dinner. Nicely, tables were put up there. Everyone brought their food. They're sharing. Jews were there. Gentiles were there. All of them were Christians. Paul was there. Barnabas was there. Peter, the big apostles, were all there. They were eating together, enjoying, talking about Christ. And Paul was so happy to see, because the message Paul was declaring, Peter was demonstrating. Peter ignored the law. If he were to follow the law, forget about eating with Gentiles, he wouldn't even talk to Gentiles or sit with Gentiles. But he put law aside, demonstrating it is the grace of God that has brought the salvation. Paul was so happy until few Jews come in. And these Jews are close friends with James, and Peter was afraid. The fear of man is a snare, says Proverbs. And Peter fell into that trap. Immediately he took his plate and moved away from this table to a table where there are Jews. And then, seeing that, the other Jews, who are also sitting with Gentiles, realize that Peter, who is their leader, has changed his mind. They also started changing their mind. They also moved away from the tables of Gentiles and then moved into the tables of Jews. And suddenly, we see tables of Gentiles becoming empty and tables of Jews are getting crowded. People were confused. Then what Paul says here is, when I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of all of them. He confronted Peter. Peter is a big guy at that time. But he confronted Peter because he is not in line with the truth of the gospel. Because of the double life of Peter, there's a lot of confusion in the gospel's message. And Paul, though he is an esteemed friend of Paul, he has to stand and confront him. This also applies to us a lot. Men, the fear of men makes us to change what we need to say. Or sometimes pleasing men makes us to change or smoothen the gospel so it is easier to hear. We smoothen the gospel so it is easy to adapt. Paul says that is not the way of preserving the truth of the gospel. To preserve the truth of the gospel, he became enemies to so many Jews. He was going through hardship, but yet the God chose the right person for the job. He was keeping it pure, so Galatians were able to hear the message in its purity. And then he starts the truth of the gospel. He established the authority, he established the authenticity, he established the confirmation. He also said how important it is to preserve the gospel and how hard he went through to preserve the gospel. And he's telling that now this is the gospel. What is the gospel? First, he rules out the role of law in the story of salvation. We see here Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too, that is, we Jews, we too, have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. What Paul is saying is that if you were to take a good example of a person who really followed the law and its spirit, Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 6, I was blameless. In following the law, I did that with a zeal. I did that. But what he realized is the law is cleaning him outwardly. When God sees a person, he sees inside the heart. When he saw inside, Paul realized that in Romans 7, he says that I could not prove myself to be righteous inside. Let me give you an example. I requested Linus to provide a cup. Okay. Now, see this cup. I made sure it's clean. Can I request someone to come here and pour some water and drink in it? Anyone, it's just water. The moment she's, I forgot your name, my Meredith saw the cup from outside, she ran and came. When she had to use it, she saw inside and said, no, it's not. It's very hard to drink in this cup. That is what Jesus, God says, that when he sees us inside. But when you see me outside. Oh, Joshua, he's spiritual. He attends every week. He's also in the Bible small groups. He also preaches. He sings. He does all these things. That is cleaning and showing the cleanliness outside. But when God sees Joshua to use him, he sees inside. And Paul says, Paul himself, he says that I am not eligible to say I am justified. Paul is simply saying that law is not the right tool to clean inside. It is the tool to clean outside. It is only through the faith that we put on the Christ that we can become clean from inside. It is only through the work of salvation that Christ has done on the cross that we can attain righteousness. That's exactly what Paul says. When a person sees that there is not good enough, that he is not good enough for God, all his good deeds are filthy rags in God's eyes because they come from the corrupt heart with corrupt motives. How many times you read Bible every day? How much time you spend in the Bible every day? If these questions are coming continuously to you, God said, if you love me, what did he say? Sorry? You read Bible? or you follow my commands. You follow my commands. Now, if the intention is not to follow the command, but to just read the Bible, to say, Ross, that I read 20 minutes this day, he asks me sometimes, Josh, do you have your quiet time today? Yes, 20 minutes. Just for the sake of telling Ross that I had my quiet time, if I start reading, and not the intention of following the commands of God because I love him, then that is keeping yourself clean outside. But if you want to follow the commands of God because you love him, then you have to come back to Bible to read it because the commands are in here. If you're participating in breaking of bread and communion for the sake of participating in it, then that is cleaning and showing yourself you're clean outside. But God said you need to love one another with fervent love. When you love one another and want to have a fellowship with one another, you would participate in communion to worship Christ along with the brothers. When we remove the spirit of the law and follow the letter of it, all we are doing is keeping ourselves clean outside. And Paul says, that doesn't work. And then he moves on to the verse 17. But if in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? There's always clever people in the room, isn't it? A clever people who can find a loophole to exploit. I used to be that 12 years ago in New Zealand. I used to be close to one of the elders asking these questions. Remember the narrow way. There's a cliff on this side, and there's a cliff on the other side. We try to back off from one side and fall on the other side, trying to find things where it is the nature, my thinking is that. If it is all about Christ, what he did on the cross, if it is all about what Christ did, and it has nothing to do with what I do, do I really need to do much? Can I not just live the same life and be defeated in sin? And that is the question Paul is trying to answer. If that is what is possible, that I don't have to be pure or righteous because it is Christ's work that actually brings salvation. On the other side, Paul says, you don't have to do the law. So I don't have to be clean outside as well, and I also don't need to be clean inside as well. I asked for the other cup, and it was brought in a way that I can't even touch it. There. Inside out. I asked to clarify what did Ben's put on it. It is just, what is it? Vegemite. So don't misunderstand. This cup is not clean inside and outside. If God has to accept this cup to drink in it, what we are saying is Jesus Christ is promoting sin. If God doesn't accept a cup which is clean outside but still not clean inside, it would be foolish to think that he would accept a cup which is not clean outside as well as inside. If someone thinks that they do not have to give up their sinful life and just recite some words saying, Jesus Christ, I believe you and the work you did on the cross, then it would be a gospel message that is of substandards of the true gospel. Gospel starts with the word repentance. We need to repent of our sins. Once we repent of our sins, we give those sins to God and Christ and say, Lord, I have repented of, repent. The word repent means turn away. Turn away from that sin. I have repented of this sin. I am turning away from this sin, Lord Jesus, but I still have to pay penalty for this sin, which I cannot. Now, I give this to you so that you can forgive me. He would take that sin, put on himself, And he adds, he says, Bible says, imputes his righteousness onto us. And then we become clean, clean from inside. The nature of turning away from sin is cleaning from inside. Let me tell you a story. Imagine we have Jono here, has a very famous restaurant. Beautiful restaurant, buffet system, amazing food. He's having good business, and that night he's slowly closing the shop, got everything sorted, and then he heard a sound outside at the rubbish bins. He comes to the rubbish bins and say, he'll be surprised to see Joshua, that's me, trying to find food in the rubbish bins. I was desperate, I'm hungry, I do not have food, I am very hungry, I don't have money, so I'm searching for food in, it's all imaginative, okay? Searching for the food in the rubbish bins. When Jonah comes and sees that, Josh, I know you. What are you doing here? Say, I'm very hungry, I don't have money, I'm looking for food. Something that I could find, I would eat. Jonah says, no, my friend, I have a restaurant that I own. You come inside, you can eat whatever you want. I will take the responsibility of paying for it. You can eat whatever you want, anything you want, then I will pay for it. Then if I say anything I want, yes, anything I want. Can I eat from this rubbish bin? That would be foolish to say I will go back and eat from the same rubbish bin when he offers a buffet inside. No, he will hold my hand, take me inside. He shows everyone that this is my friend. He will not pay. I will pay. He will eat. I will start eating so hungry. I will eat and eat. I am full. I am filled. And then Jonah says, you know what? Every day, morning, afternoon, night, you come here. I will pay for you. You eat and don't be hungry. Don't go to rubbish bins again. Now, the gratitude I would have at that time and thankfulness I have at that time, not for just today, for the days to come that I was given this freedom to eat, how would I pay it back? I would ask, I'm very thankful. I'm very grateful. Tell me what I can do. You want me to mop the floor? I will mop the floor. Now, that is the work. But that work comes from the fullness of our heart and the gratitude that we have experienced. It is not that I would mop the floor so he fed me, but I am mopping the floor because I was fed. The works that comes as a result of the salvation. It is not the works that brings us salvation. Now, Paul is clearly saying that if you think you can still live in a sin, if you still think that you can go back to rubbish bins and eat, and say that I have access to this buffet and the restaurant, it'll be foolish. We must turn, Peter says, like a dog eats its own vomit. When we try and not live, clean ourselves from inside, that is the example that applies to us. And here, I know I am going out of time now, I'll close it, but Paul says that Christ is not promoting sin. Christ is promoting righteousness. Christ is promoting sinlessness. If you think you are believing Christ, there is a step before that. You must repent of your sins, turn away from the sin, and then believe in Christ so you can be saved. And that is the truth of the gospel. The true gospel brings liberty within the heart, freeing a person from the grip of the sin in their inner life. And therefore, their external life becomes pure because their inner life is pure. Salvation is not about keeping the law of Moses. At the same time, salvation is not just believing in Christ and living in the sin without repentance. Salvation comes through the grace when we turn away from sin and come into the knowledge of Christ. I'll just add a couple of points and then I want to close. It is 10:35. Then he says in the verse 19 and 20, "For through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God." Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. "I have been crucified with Christ, that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Recently, my brother-in-law moved to a new job. The statement goes like this: he resigned in the old job so that he can join the new job. We were dead to the law so that we can live in God. We try to take advantage of things like, I am dead to the law. I don't have to do the law. I don't have to prove myself being clean outside. But we forget the next part of it. The core and central message of gospel is having two aspects. One, death, and two, resurrection. Jesus Christ died, and then he rose again. A message that proclaims gospel about the death of the Christ and leaves the resurrection part is again not a true gospel. In the same way as for Romans chapter 6, when we associate ourselves to the death with the Christ, we will also have to associate ourselves to being part in the resurrection. It is not that I am dead to the law and I don't do the law and pull a stop. No. I am dead to the law. I don't do this for the saving. But now I am alive in God. It is God who is living in me. There is a state of resigning and there is a state of joining. When we are dead to the law, we are ending our relationship with the old man, Paul says in Romans 6. But then when we having a new birth, we are having a new relationship with this. The new man has a relationship with Jesus Christ. We are dead, but we are dead for the reason of living with Christ. I will just conclude this. The last verse, it says, verse 2, Galatians chapter 2, verse 21, "I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." Now, if you change the word righteousness for forgiveness of sins, if forgiveness of sin could be attained through the law, Christ died for nothing. We need to importantly remember, Jesus Christ did not die just to forgive our sins. He died so that we have the righteousness. Imagine we are here in sin, negative, and then there is a state of sinlessness, and then there's a state of righteousness. God did not die so that we can just become sinless. And we don't stop there. God died, Jesus Christ died for us so that we can be righteous. For us to be righteous, we have the cup here. I have the last one is clean inside. And because it's clean inside, the nature, our mind says, I want to do this for God, then it will automatically flow out into our external life. It is very hard to find a Christian who really believes in Christ and be very unclean outside, if the change has really come into the heart. So the message this morning, dear brothers and sisters, when we taste, let us taste the true gospel, the gospel that was preserved in its pure form. When we do that, we will not turn back again. If you don't do that, there are chances that you get disappointed and frustrated with the things that are happening in your life. I wanted to pray this morning. If you can bow your heads, and then we will close this. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the words you have given us. You must be glorified. You must be increased, and I and we must be decreased. Lord, thank you, Lord, for bringing to our attention the importance of preserving the gospel and the responsibility we have in this age to keep the gospel in its pure form. Thank you for reminding us and reiterating that it is through Christ, except through Christ, there is no other way. The so-called other way cannot clean us inside, but it can only clean us outside. Thank you, Lord, for giving your Son so that we can be cleansed throughout, in and out. I pray, Lord, that every person who heard this message, I pray that you would do your work in their hearts. You are the one who sees the hearts. I pray that you put your Holy Spirit in each and every one of us so that we can also walk in accordance to your will. I pray this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. That concludes our service. So we will leave the online visitors, but we have now time to put ourselves out. We don't have to be shameful in a family like this. We can always talk to God and express what he has spoken to us, especially remembering Christ and his the work of salvation. Let's have some open time.